If you've been with us at for the last 2 weeks, this is the last week of I Am 3. This is the third week. And what I Am 3 is all about is the whole idea that we are made up of three parts inside of us. We're made in the image of God. Our Father God is three in one. And He has also made us three in one. So go to that I Am 3 slide, because you are made up of a spirit, a soul, and a body. Now, last week I did a little bit of drawing. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Put up that slide that I showed. This is a really quick reminder of what's going on. Our spirit is our God conscious part of our life. Our spirit connects best with God. Our soul is our self-conscious part of our life. It understands ourselves better than anybody. It's our mind, our will, and our emotions. So when we get mopey, it's our soul who's very aware we're getting mopey and depressed. When we're joyful, it's our mind or it's some things that have happened. It's the soul that's kind of firing off our awareness of what's going on. And then finally, our body, which is our five senses, is our world conscious part of us. It is most familiar with our neighbors next to us, our world around us, the people we do life with, the people we work with, and the jobs that we do. Now, all three have a purpose, but we learn, go to that next slide, we learn that all three should have a proper flow, and it should start out of the love of God, which feeds and communicates with the spirit part that is inside of us. If that spirit part is alive and well, it's going to tell our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions, here's how we're going to roll, right? That's why I love that last song. I was driving here at 6:45 this morning, and my 11-year-old daughter is amazing. She comes every single Sunday morning. She wakes up at the 5 o'clock hour so that she can come and serve and be a part of the dream team. We don't ask her to. She just chooses to. And I love that she has growing a heart for the house of God. And that is so important. And she said, what does this singer mean? Because we were listening to that second song we worshiped to. She said, what does this singer mean? I'm done chasing feelings. And I said, okay, that's a great question, right? We could have felt like sleeping in today, but the Spirit of God says, I want you to go out into all the world and preach the message of Jesus, right? And so the Spirit compels me to go. Do you know that last week we had an amazing visitor with us? She was our VIP. Her name was Deborah. I hope Deborah's back today. If you are, I didn't get to high five you on the way in, so I'm not sure. But she came last week. My wife grabbed us and she said, hey, I've got to introduce you to Deborah. Well, I always love meeting first-time visitors, but this time she said, you need to understand that Deborah is here because when we were in Walmart the other day, our daughter Bella, the 11-year-old, she said, Mom, I feel like God wants us to invite this lady to church. And so my wife says, go ahead, follow that. That's the Spirit of God urging you. And she said, I ain't following that. I'm not doing that. I'm a little bit nervous. And Lauren's like, I'll get the conversation started. And so Lauren started the conversation. And then Bella just said, she said, my daughter had something she felt like she wanted to say. And she just handed her a car and she says, if you don't have a church, we'd love you for you to come to church. She said, I have been following God on TV for a while, but I haven't had a church home. Now, if God wants to send a little girl to invite me to church, I think He's trying to get my attention. And so I came today. I got to talk to Deborah afterward last week, and she says she loved it. She'll be back. So Deborah, if you're here, welcome back. If you're not here, we'll see you next week. Something like that. All right. And so the proper flow is the spirit tells the soul what to do. And the body says, we ain't going to invite Deborah. But the spirit says, you ain't calling the shots. I'm calling the shots. So put your hand in your pocket, grab the invite, and move your lips up and down and say, we would like to invite you to come hang with us, right? And so this is the proper flow that we're supposed to live in our life. It's more than just an invite. It's how we live. Right? Yeah, I love what you said. Thank you so much as you just encouraged us in worship that our proper sacrifice, our pleasing sacrifice is just to lay down our lives and to give Him all of ourselves. And so I just so appreciate the worship this morning. So let's get into part three. And this one, I want to focus in on the Spirit of God and the Spirit within us. And so this message is called The Right Spirit in Me. Look at your neighbor and say, you better get the right spirit. You better get the right spirit. Let's pray. Father, I want the right spirit. Let your spirit flow through me, that this is more about you, less about me. I want to decrease, God, more of you and less of me. In Jesus' name. That's what brings the joy, both now and as we leave the room. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read what is, we started a series with an obscure spiritual passage. I don't know if you remember Daniel and a mysterious hand writing on the wall. That was 2 weeks ago. I feel like it would only be appropriate as I was studying this week, God led me to another odd spiritual encounter. And we didn't even plan on it during this season, but right now, as we just finished up the Halloween season, everyone's in a spirit kind of mood, right? And then we're transitioning into a Christmas or Thanksgiving spirit kind of mood. Some of y'all don't allow the Christmas songs until after Turkey Day. I totally get it. My dad tried to hold up that torch. I gave up that torch a long time ago once I married my wife. It ain't working. She had me watching a Hallmark Christmas movie last night. And you know what? That one was worse than others. If you could remind me of that name, I'll share all of y'all. You don't need to watch that one. It's something about candy canes, all right? Just that one, just move on to the next one, okay? You're not going to get your man watching it if you start with that one. I'm just saying. This one's like... But whether it's a Halloween spirit or a Christmas spirit, everyone's wrapped up in spirits right now. So it's fitting that we talk about a scripture out of 1 Samuel 28. So if you'll go in your word to 1 Samuel 28, here's what I want you to get out of this message. All right? Just because you have a spirit doesn't mean you have the spirit. Just because you have a spirit doesn't mean you have the Spirit, all right? We're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 28. If you've got a smart version and you can change your translations by tapping a screen, then I'm in the New Living Translation now. I would encourage you to follow along. But as we read, you're going to see there's three main players in this story that I want you to focus on. There is Saul. Now, Saul is a king who was God's anointed, but he has lost his way. He quit listening to the Spirit of God a little while ago. And so he, in this story, is a man whose spirit seems to be silenced. In fact, you're going to hear, he said, I prayed to God and I'm not hearing jack. I don't hear anything. I don't hear nothing. All right? Then there is another player. He comes at the end. His name's Samuel. Though he comes at the end, he's one of the most important players in this story because he is the man of God, the prophet of God, that God has been using to speak by his spirit to his people for a long time now. It's just that Samuel has recently passed away. And Saul is in need of hearing from the Spirit of God. So Samuel's got the right spirit. And then there's also going to be a spiritualist, a medium in this scripture. And this person is tapping into the wrong spirit. So look, read along with me and see if I'm not reading this correctly. You be the judge. It says, starting in verse 3, meanwhile, Samuel had died. Once again, that represents the Spirit of God. The voice of God is now muted to these people in this story. They can't hear it for themselves. And so, since the Spirit of God seems muted, Saul has died, and all of Israel had mourned for him. He was buried in Ramah, his hometown, and Saul had banned from the land of Israel all mediums and those who consult the spirits of the dead. Note that word spirits. Sounds like a good idea, right? Hey, two thumbs up for Saul. Get rid of the spiritualists, the mediums, right? Verse 4. The Philistines set up their camp at Shunem, and Saul gathered all the army of Israel and camped at Gilboa. But when Saul saw the vast Philistine army, he became frantic with fear. Now he's in a jam. Now his back's up against the wall. Now he needs the voice of God, and he realizes he has neglected the voice of God for a period of time. And so now what will he do? The question for us today is, what will you do when your back's up against the wall? Will you have the right spirit in you for overcoming every obstacle that mounts itself against us, or will you be in the same jam Saul's in? He has neglected the voice of God for a while. And so it says in verse 6, he asked the Lord what he should do, but the Lord refused to answer him, either by dreams or by sacred lots or by the prophets. And Saul then said to his advisors, find a woman who is a medium so I can go and ask her what to do. Now we got Saul, who's not living by the Spirit of God, but instead is living by the soul and the body. I'll do what I want to. I'll live how I want to live. Except when his back's up against the wall and he gets in a jam, he's like, oh, I need the voice of God. And why isn't God responding to me? Well, because he's trying to, as the proverb says, have his cake and eat it too. That never made sense to me, because if I have my cake, I'm going to eat it too, right? We talked about that last week, I think we talked about. But it actually means that you want to have a cake on the table, but you also want to eat it too. In other words, you want to take a swim, but you don't want to get wet, right? He wants both. I want to be able to live my way, do what I want to do, whether it lines up with God's word or not. But when I need him to start speaking to me. I need him to tell me and to direct my path, but only when I'm in a jam. It doesn't work that way. You can run off the Spirit of God's voice in your life when you tell him, you sit right here while I go play the game. I'll call on you anytime I need to take a timeout. I know where to find you. God's not your coach. God goes on the field with us. And so his soul is in a predicament because his soul and his body is used to taking the shots from the Spirit of God. But what happens when the Spirit of God's voice is not active? It is not loud. He cannot hear it. And so he calls on the Lord, but there's no answer. Like a young adult who only calls on his parents when needing money. Right? And so parents, what do you do after a period of time? I know what this is. You just calling for money. I'm not even picking up. You can say, how come God doesn't answer him? The brother's just calling because he's in a jam. I need you to hook me up with some cash. I need a quick fix. And then I'll tell you to sit back down, right? And so like a good parent, he's like, I ain't picking up on that answer. I'm not answering you right now because you're not for real. You're still for yourself. You caught up in the soul life. When you're ready to walk in the Spirit of God, I'll answer you. So check out just how conflicted Saul's soul was. He wanted to follow God, but he wouldn't repent. So he's going to turn to the dark side. He's going to go to a medium, a spiritualist. And look what happens. I mean, this is like Saul is in Halloween mode, because it even says he dresses up like a commoner. He's in Halloween mode. He's changed his outfit, and he's disguised himself as a nobody, because guess what? As king, he banned mediums. He banned psychics from doing what psychics do. And so now he's got to dress like someone other than a king so that he can go talk to them. And this is what he says. Verse 11. Finally, the woman, the medium, the spiritualist, she said, well, whose spirit do you want me to call up? Remember, just because you have a spirit doesn't mean you have the spirit. And so Saul says, call up Samuel. I need to hear the voice of God. So I'm trying to tap into negative spirit so I can hear the positive spirit, because I have no spiritual activity going on. I am one conflicted soul. And so when the woman saw Samuel, she screamed and she said, you deceived me, you're Saul. Isn't this crazy? The spiritualist is scary accurate. Have you ever read scriptures before and you're like, they're tapping into the wrong spirit, but they're accurate? Like, I wonder sometimes, how did the men on Jonah's boat know Jonah's the one not following the Spirit of God? It's because sometimes you could tap into the wrong spirit, and it can be crazy accurate at times, but that doesn't mean you are headed on the right path. In fact, check this out. Let's read further. It says this, don't be afraid, Saul told her. What do you see? And she said, I see a God coming out of the earth. Interesting that the bad demon or the bad spirits have noted who's the right spirit, okay? And it says this, So what does he look like? Saul asked. He's an old man wrapped in a robe, she replied. And Saul realized it was Samuel, and he fell to the ground before him. And why have you disturbed me by calling me back from the dead? Samuel asked Saul. And Saul says this, because I am in deep trouble. It's crazy who you call out to when you get in a bind. And so the Philistines are at war with me, and God has left me, and he won't reply by prophets or dreams. So I have called for you to tell me what to do. If you're like me, I'm like, wow, the spiritual activity in this scripture is astounding. I do think at times we are unaware of the spiritual activity that's on this earth. Scripture talks about it. I think I would be wowed if I put on not 3D vision goggles, but spirit vision goggles, and I could see some of the wars going on, some of the sly moves going on, some of the love that's being offered that I'm not even accepting into my life, maybe because of my own hurts, habits, or hangups. Maybe my soul or my flesh is getting in the way, and I've only got a part revelation, but this much I know is I love the Spirit of God, and He is where my home is at. There's a few things that I see about spirits in here that I want to share with you in this different kind of sermon. This is not like what I normally want to do, and yet I felt like God just really plopped me down here and said, the people of God need to know this exists. So here's a few things that I note about spirits from this scripture. If you're taking notes, write this down. Here's number one, that there's a legitimate spirit world with good and evil spirits in operation. This scripture points out, I know it's Old Testament, but it points out very clearly something that is still happening today. I know in America, we don't have the biggest problem with palm readers and crystal balls and Ouija boards, but we probably know they exist. And some of us maybe have experimented with some of these things when we were younger. I grew up in New Orleans. All I had to do was walk around the French Quarter, and it was full of spirits. I'm not being weird, and I'm not being spooky. All you got to do is go walk it, and you'll go, okay, that's weird, and that's kind of spooky. Because you would walk up, and there'd be somebody with a Bible, and they'd be reading from the Bible and proclaiming it. Then the very next person is an old man with long, pink, wavy hair, and they're saying, let me have your palm, I will read it and tell you your future. Then the next person after that is some sort of artist, and you're like, wow, that's kind of a dark painting, I don't want to buy it, thank you very much. Then the next person is a musician, then the next person is another sort of right-spirited preacher, and then the next one is someone with a crystal ball and stuff wrapped all around them. I've been on the missions field before. I've been in countries that even proudly boast that they are led by a wrong spirit. And you can feel it. I sometimes wonder if we don't realize how good we've got it in America. That if you have not praised God for America in a long time, I think that we should get back to what the Bible says and pray for our leaders. I don't care if you elected them or not. We have to pray for our leaders that they would continue to lead us into right paths. And sometimes they do it better than other times. But all I know is I'm called to pray, and I'm called to be thankful, and I'm called to be aware, and I'm also called to go, and so are you. And so we got to be aware of what's going on. There's legitimate spirits, both good and evil, in operation. One of the craziest stories that always wows me is in the book of Acts. The Bible talks about a group of people who watched their, in fact, they were the seven sons of a priest, and his name was Sceva. And their sons watched their daddy say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, spirit come out of these people. And so these seven sons started thinking, this is fun. This is something to play with. This is something to draw a crowd. This is something cool. People will look at me and think I'm someone amazing if I play with it. And so they started walking around and saying, in the name of the Jesus that Paul preaches, come out of this man. And one person full of an evil spirit looked back at him, and it says in Acts 19 verse 13, pick up the story. It says, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. The evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirits gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. I'm talking about 1 on 7. One evil spirit took out 7 supposedly righteous people who weren't really flowing with the real Spirit of God in them. It was more like that Saul spirit, where it's just like, I kind of know about it, but I'll take it and I'll leave it. You know, and so they didn't know what was coming. The book of Daniel, chapter 10, study it this week, talks about this great angelic wrestle match that's going on, that when one of the people of God called out for God, he says he sent out one of his angels to answer him immediately, but he got held up. The Bible says this, I was held up by the prince of the Persian kingdom until the archangel Michael came and blew up that place. And now I'm here to bring you your answer. See, God wants to bring you the answers, but there is a spirit world that we sometimes just look past. And I get it because I can't see it every day. And I don't like being the one who walks around going, evil spirit, oh, very evil spirit. You got a demon. Let's cast it out of you, right? I'm not suggesting that, but I am suggesting that we need to be aware. There is spiritual activity going on. There is the right spirit. There is the God spirit. There's also demon spirits, and there's also neutral. Let me move on. Here's the second one. The spirit part of man can be silenced. Saul's spirit seat was inactive. It was dormant. It was calling up God, hey, big army, haven't talked in a while. Could you help me out? No one's picking up. This connection doesn't work. And so he starts trying to talk to someone whose connection works. Do you know the world is looking for people who keep their connection working, right? Because the spirit can be silenced. Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. 1 Timothy 4 says this, the spirit clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come from hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared. If you were here with us on week one, then you remember that the conscience is part of the spirit part of man. Just because you have a spirit doesn't mean it's filled with the spirit. And if we sear it, if we allow the spirit to be told by the soul and the body, sit down, shut up, we'll run the show, we'll let you know when we need your help. If it continues to bully the spirit inside of us, then the spirit becomes seared. And instead of hearing, don't go there, I wouldn't do that, bless that person, step out in faith, instead we don't hear anything. And we just respond to, because I want to, because I like it, because it feels right, because God wants me to be happy. Did you consult the spirit of God? No, my soul thinks that God wants me to be happy. And so I told the spirit how God is speaking to me, right? We get all disorganized, and it says that we can actually follow the wrong spirit. See, there are three possibilities for the spirit of man, which I've illustrated. Number one is filled with the spirit of God. That was Samuel. In Acts 2, we see that a whole group of people get filled with the spirit of God, and they go from cowards to confident preachers of the word. There's also number two, the dormant and silenced spirit. Let's look at, let me read to you Luke 11. It says in verse 24, when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. And then it says, I will return to the house or the person that I left. And when it arrives, if it finds the house swept clean and put in order, then it goes in and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and they live there, and the final condition of that person is worse than the first. See, it illustrates the last two, and that is, you can actually have a clean and swept empty spirit. Oh, I got some negative things cleaned up. I'm just not willing to let the Spirit of God reside in it 24/7. I need a little bit of room to tell God no when I don't want to do what He's asked me to do. And so I mostly say, yeah, get all those evil spirits out of me. But I don't fully trust you, Spirit of God, to lead my life correctly. And so I'll hold on to a portion of it. In fact, I'll just keep it empty. And what is it becomes a very dangerous place to live. As you see, Saul becomes so confused that he taps into someone who's got a demonic spirit. That's the third one, filled with demonic spirits. Acts 16 actually talks about Paul walking around with Silas and this slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. Here's what's crazy. That young lady was getting rich on telling the future, but tapping into a spirit that was not the spirit of God. In fact, that demonic spirit must have been accurate enough to keep her employed. And it was smart enough to know, oh crap, the Spirit of God has arrived. And so it just started like mockingly saying, oh, here comes the Spirit of God. These people know Jesus Christ. And at one point, Paul had enough of it. And he turned around and he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out. And then her employers got mad because she couldn't tell the future anymore. It's interesting what can happen. Here's the third thing. The Spirit of God is the security we all seek. I think we all seek the wisdom of the Lord. I know that our soul and our body was made to be subservient and to follow the voice of God, which means it's not the best leader, but it likes to act like the best leader. I've heard before that when soldiers go out and they fight in war, that though their front is of strength and might, it's the antithesis of a mama's boy. I have heard that when someone gets wounded, maybe even mortally, one of the first things they want to talk about is give a message to my mom. Right? And so while some of our strongest men and women and soldiers can put up a front, we still know that at the end of the day, it's about this, right? I think that sometimes our soul and our body puts up this great front. We got it. We've studied. My mind can take it from here. My feelings are accurate. I'm just going to do it by discernment. But in the end, they are longing to be followed by the Spirit of God. Look at Saul. He's like, oh, crap. Where's the voice of God when I need it? 1 Corinthians 2 says this, God's Spirit finds out everything, even what is deep in the mind of God. You are the only one who knows what's in your own mind, and God's Spirit is the only one who knows what's in God's mind. But God has given us His Spirit. That's why we don't think the same way that the people of this world do. Come on, if you want the voice of wisdom that surpasses human understanding, then you can't just say, I know I have a Spirit. You say, I want to be filled with the Spirit, the one who spends time with the King of Kings, the God of all. He spends time at the throne saying, what are you seeing? What are you wanting? What are you desiring? What's the best? And then comes and spends time with us. And He's called the Holy Spirit. He's an advocate. He's the one who goes back and forth and says, let me say what the Father says about you. I know what this world's saying about you, and it's got your soul depressed, but let me tell you what the Father just said about you. Let me tell you what He just spoke about your future. You don't need no spiritualist or medium. You don't need no crystal ball or fortune cookie. Those fortunes suck lately anyway. You know it. Some of y'all have ordered Chinese food lately, like we did last night, and that food is good, but the fortunes used to be better 10 years ago. They're crap now. They're bad, right? I don't need another fortune cookie. I need the voice of God that tells me what the Creator of my life says about me. Because I've had too many people tell me what they think about me. And my soul starts telling my own self what to think about me. Yeah, you are pretty messed up. Yeah, you are what they said about you. And the Spirit of God says, I've just been hanging out with the one who created you. He says, you're awesome. He says, He's in love with you. He says, He's got a mighty purpose for you. And He says, He's going to use you in mighty ways. He says, step out boldly. He says, do not cast off your confidence, for it will be richly rewarded. He's speaking amazing things about you. If you could only hear how He speaks about you from heaven's throne. That's the Spirit. That's the voice you want to hear. Van's going to come join me as I finish up. You know, sadly, many run to horoscopes, psychics, crystal balls, palm reading, voodoo. I can remember I was in Ghana about a year and a half ago. JT was with me, and we were riding around, and I'm a big soccer fan, and we passed a big soccer stadium, and he said, the tour guide was with us. He was a man, a guy. He said, I couldn't play at the national level, even though I had the talent to. I said, why not? I was a little skeptical. When someone says I can, you're like, yeah, right. You got cut, and you're a little bitter about it, right? And he says, no. No, actually, at the national level, our team relies more on spiritual curses than they rely on the talent. I said, what do you mean? And he says, literally, you have to allow people to make voodoo dolls of your opponents. And then they stick things in them, and they enchant, and they chant curses on them. And I'm like, so instead of spending time on the soccer field, kicking the ball around, And trying to become the best, you actually spend time with these dolls, believing that if I'm playing America and I curse Christian Pulisic, maybe we can win. That's like such a backwards mentality of like, oh, spirits don't curse me. I was in Haiti once, and Tom, I heard voodoo drums happening down the street, and Tom said, Once a voodoo witch doctor came and said, I want to come to your church. And he said, you're welcome in my church, but you got to take your necklaces off first. I said, Pastor Tom, why would you put a stumbling block in this witch doctor's life to come into Christ? Like, why not just say all are welcome? That's what we normally say, right? And he goes, because he actually thinks that the only thing stopping him from being cursed, his daughter getting sick and dying, his marriage staying together, he thinks it's each individual necklace. So I needed him to take off these, this stops this curse, this stops this curse, this stops this thing. I needed him to just be open to the voice of God. So many people are literally burdened. I saw one of those witch doctors and they had about 12 necklaces on, and I started thinking how heavy that must be on your neck. But why don't you come to him who said, if your burden is heavy, come to me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and I will bring rest for your soul. We spend so much time sometimes telling the Spirit of God, I know better than you, or the world knows better than you. And that's not how we do it anymore, your old-fashioned Spirit of God. But it's the very Spirit of God who knows more than you and I. Job says, why do you speak when you know so little? I think sometimes we try to call the shots when it's the wisdom of God, the one who breathed this world into existence, wants to come and live and dwell in you and I. I have to wrap this up, but I want to finish with this, and this is the final one. The evil spirits, though they are strong, though they seem crazy accurate at times in Scripture, they are subservient to the name and the Spirit of God. If you missed it, when the spiritualist called up the spirit of Samuel, I don't get how all that works. I don't. I've studied Scripture. I don't really get it, but this much I do know. When the spiritualist called up the spirit that was from God in Samuel, she became subservient. What is he saying? He looks like God. He's talking like God. And if you'll read the rest of the Scripture, she starts saying, you look weak. We just heard the voice of God. She's not even trying to convince any different. There's no demonic spirit that is trumping the power of God. The Bible says this, that in Mark chapter 5, demon-possessed men who the world ran from came up to Jesus when he arrived on the shore. And they said, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me. I need you to understand that though evil spirits can be strong, accurate, they're not stronger, yeah. Right? We have a hole in our lives. It is for the Spirit of God, but it is your spirit. God put it in you. He gave you a soul or a will to decide if you want to fill that with whatever you want. God is a gentleman. He will not force himself upon you. That's called love. If he was to say, you have a spirit and it will always be filled with the Spirit of God, you and I are now robots. But he says, I want a people who have the option to love me back. It is your call what you do with the spirit that God has put in you. As long as you leave it empty, then you'll be wondering where the voice of wisdom is. Where the voice of protection is. Why does it always feel like I take one step forward and two steps backwards? I used to live there. I used to live there. And there is an option, and there are lands where it is filled with demonic spirits. But I want to tell you that God has come and he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you and I, to fill that void, that you have the option, that no matter what you've done in the past, you can lay that down. Ask the Spirit of God to come into my life. You must repent. The Bible says that we stop going one way, we repent, and we start going the other way. No matter how bad you've done, no matter how much sin you have in your life, the Lord says that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In this place, I want to pray for us right now as we close.